Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. I know some of you heard last week's message and, as I requested, did respond. I can also tell by the numbers that quite a few listened and didn't respond. I believe the hearing as well as the response is in God's hands. I hope that those of you who are listening and not responding, that, you know, God is working on you, and if at least not a response to me, you are responding to him in faith. Today, we're going to be taking a look at a couple of chapters in the book of Isaiah. This last week was reading through these chapters, and you know, there's a message in the middle of these chapters that I'm going to emphasize, but there are other things that caught my attention, and my hope is that they're going to be an encouragement to you all. If not right now, time will come. So, let's begin in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, and I'm not taking it necessarily in the context of what Isaiah is talking about. However, I want to put it in the context of our relationship with God. And how it is continuing to develop. So it says in the last part of the 23rd verse of Isaiah 49, "And you shall know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed," King James translates, "that wait for me." Now, the form of the verb wait in the Hebrew is better translated waiting. So it should read, "For they shall not be ashamed that are waiting for me." If we move on, you know, there's just a lot of messages that are going to be passed over here that might edify and give some history of God's people to the church, but that's not the purpose for today. For those of you who have been with me before, you know the importance of that 49th chapter. You know the importance of this 50th chapter. We've been here before, and we're going to spend some time in this 50th chapter. It says in the fourth verse of the 50th chapter, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to the weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear as the learned." And I added in my Bible, Selah. Think of that. "He wakeneth morning by morning." Deuteronomy 33 says, "As thy day, so shall thy strength be." This relationship that God is having with us, folks, it's day by day. It's morning by morning, and He wakeneth our ear. And that, to His words, to His promises, that morning by morning, day by day, we should not only be aware of God's word and His promises, but aware also of His presence. As last week we talked about, where's your focus? In the New Testament, godliness is defined as being aware of the presence of God. Now, Isaiah spoke, continues to speak. He says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Now, this speaks of Christ. This speaks of Jesus Christ and some of that which He has gone through. But Christ Himself said, "The servant is not above his master." We are to keep our chin up in spite of circumstance, because the promise is, they that are waiting for the Lord shall not be ashamed. 49:23. But now here we come to 50, chapter 50, verse 7. "The Lord God will help me." The name Jesus means God, my helper. Comes from the Hebrew Jehoshua, Jehovah, our helper. The cognate in the Greek is Jesus, God, my helper. "Therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me when we keep our eyes on God? We have that understanding and those promises found in Romans 8. That God's not judging us. He gave His Son. That His Son's not judging us. He gave His life. And that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near. And I'd like to use New Testament understanding of this word justifieth. He is near that righteousifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. When God repeats something, pay attention. The Lord, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. That's a wonderful picture of our true adversaries, folks, not flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers, of wicked spirits in high places. Shit happened. Take it on the chin. We read the next chapter, the next verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? I do understand why translators translate this word yare with the English, the Hebrew word yare with the English word fear. That part is very limited in its communication, and it almost takes it out of context as to what is being said here. The better word is revere. Not fear, revere. In the context of the whole Word of God, He is revealing to us the relationship He is having with us, and it culminates in Him calling Himself our Father, and He says, His Spirit gives witness to our spirit, that we are His children. Now, there are times, no question about it. You know, I can relate. I was a kid once, it's a long time ago. Sometimes I have trouble remembering it. When I truly was afraid of my father, that's when I was doing something wrong. That I was going to get in trouble. But I think that, like me, most of us, really out of reverence and out of respect, wanted to please our Father. We didn't walk around all day and all night, you know, in the morning, at dinner time, fearing that one who sat across the table from us. We wanted to please Him out of the respect we had for Him. That's this word, yare, when it says, "Who's among you that feareth the Lord?" Who is among you that truly wants to please Him out of respect and reverence for who He is? That obeyeth the voice of His servant? And we've taught oftentimes on this word, obey. And it means, you know, to hearken diligently. To run to the voice of the sayer. And when it says that obeyeth the voice of his servant, who's the servant of God? His word. And those true ones who teach His word, who are doing and listening intently to God's servants, the description in this first part of the 10th verse is of someone who's doing it the right way. They truly do want to please the Lord. And through the intense listening to the voice of a servant, to the word of God, to those who are delivering the word of God, they're doing it the right way, and they find themselves in this condition that walketh in darkness and has no light. You ever found yourself in this condition? Boy, oh boy, I thought I was doing it right. And look at the situation I find myself in that walks in darkness and has no light. make a statement to you. Darkness is not a sign that we have been forsaken by God. We are not to doubt. In the dark, what we've heard in the light. You can't find any cause for this condition of darkness preceding that condition. The person's doing it right. Don't look for the cause. Folks, it's part of the trip. As Psalm 84 says, blessed men go through the valley of weeping. There's, again, no cause for those valleys. We can't find a cause for this darkness. This whole book is to be an example for us, to edify us, to encourage us, to teach us. Look, God led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. Why? To test them. To see where their heart was. And Hebrews tells us, you know, the bottom line was, if they didn't have light all the time and water all the time and this all the time and that all the time, they didn't trust God. Well, you know, they were putting God on trial. Ladies and gentlemen, mankind has it reversed. God is putting us on trial. And the man or woman of God learns to understand it's part of the trip. We learn to understand the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of God. Peter tells us that the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold, what's God's response to that person who reveres him, who desires to please him, who is obeying the voice of a servant, that finds himself walking in darkness and has no light? God's response is very simple. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, I've delivered this message before, and it could be titled The Names of God. That's not what we're doing today. But I can't go past it without saying, when it trusts, it says, let him trust in the name of the Lord. God, in his book, in his revelation of himself to us, is known and reveals many names. from El Shaddai, the Enough God, to Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is shepherding us, to Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace, to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. What's your darkness? God says we are to trust in the name. And he's provided plenty. He's provided a name for every one of the situations that life may bring on that may be described as darkness and having no light. Now, I don't want to give, you know, a lesson in Hebrew or in grammar, but God says, let him trust. That word in the Hebrew is batach. And in my studying, I came to find out that it is in the imperfect tense. It is used to describe a single incident as opposed to a repeated action. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. God's word further says, Jesus Christ himself speaking, saying, no man comes to God save the Spirit of God draws him. And if in your situation you grab hold of this direction by God to trust in the name of the Lord, this is a single act of faith. Now, to many of you who are listening, I know your fathers. But that description that can be given of you started out with a single act of faith, and that was generated by God and his Spirit upon you. And then it says, let him trust a single act in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now we get into that repeated action, starting out with just a single action of leaning, because that word batach means, in the picture of the Hebrew language, means to lean upon a staff. It involves action. It involves the body. It involves the mind, with the understanding that if you did lean upon that staff, that it would hold you up. And when, in fact, you had the experience of it holding you up, it says, and stay upon his God. This Hebrew word is sha'an, and it means in that constant state of leaning, in that perpetual state of being supported by what? By God. Who, before anything was, spoke and nothing became everything. Oh, what a great state that is. God gives a caution, because the 11th verse says, behold, all ye the kindred of fire, compass yourself about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This ye shall have at mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. What's it saying? You're walking in darkness and you have no light. And instead of leaning upon the name of God and staying upon God, you walk around, flicking your beck. You walk around looking for a flashlight. You walk around lighting candles all over the place. And God says to those who will kindle their own spark, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Does God make us independent and strong, not relying on other men? Yes, he does, but never to the extent that we're not dependent upon him. For his help. Does he make us self-reliant? Yes. But our first response in darkness is to go to him and lean upon his name, not our own abilities, not our own natural abilities. There are many in the world, great thinkers, some have even become theologians, some philosophers. Where am I going with that? Well, the great philosophers think they have come up with the meanings of life, and if they have not included the source, the very source of life themselves, then they're fools. God has made them fools. But they rely on their natural abilities. I said some become theologians. And they give great thought to the knowledge of God, and sometimes in apposition or opposition to His Word, because they get caught up in their ability to think great things. God has been kind to me. He wakes me morning by morning. To give me an ear of the learned. He has been very kind to you in that He wakeneth you morning by morning. To hear as the learned. Chapter 51 opens and says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness." We're following Jesus, the righteous one. And God says to those who are, hearken, listen intelligently, Shema. And we get our word obey from that word. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, as we said before. No man comes to God or after God save the Spirit of God drawing him. He is talking to His own people. Look unto the rock whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you were digged. Look unto Abraham. He gives analogy and puts it in fact. Look unto Abraham, your father, and Sarah that bare you. I called him, I, God speaking, called him alone and blessed him and increased him. I'm just going to read now. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. He says a second time, hearken unto me, not ye that follow after righteousness, hearken unto me, my people. He's going further. If you're following after righteousness, God calls you His people. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. So we opened in the 49th chapter, and we put a suffix on that word wait, because that's how it is in the Hebrew, and we said, thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that are waiting for me. This word in the grammar of the Hebrew, in the fifth verse of the 51st chapter, wait, it is a repeated or extensive action, an intentional action. They shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they, King James translates this word, trust. In Isaiah 50:10 it says, trust, the word is batak. In 51:5 they translate using the same English word, but the Hebrew word is yakil. And it means to wait with hope, or wait with expectation. God has said it. He is not, Numbers 23:19, a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent or turn from a thing. As he has said, so, or as he has spoken, so shall it be. As he has said, oh, I'm really messing that up. I apologize. We're going to say it right. I'm sorry. Stay with me for just a minute, because it's so important. I can't. Well, I'm a man. I can mess anything up. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Yes! Is a response to that question. And we, while we are in this body of flesh, through the Spirit of God and the new creation in Christ Jesus, do wait for that hope of the promise of God. Repeatedly, because of that hope, Isaiah, or God, says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, and the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. That's Jesus. He says, hearken, ye that follow after righteousness. Hearken unto me, my people. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. Who are they? The people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Those who reproach you, who revile you, because God says, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever. And my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake! Put on strength. O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that has cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? You, if you're following this, you might write a little note. These are names of a couple of constellations in our zodiac. And, you know, as far back as Isaiah is referenced. It's referenced way beyond or before Isaiah. But just a little note. Now he references things from the children of Israel's past. Art thou not it which dried up the sea? The waters of the great deep that has made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. This is a Zion. It is something in a most prominent position. It is, you know, some have referred to it in political terms, that city on a hill with 1,000 lights. Oh, it's so much more that God is going to make us in Christ. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Even I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? All these verses are designed by God to toughen us up, to toughen those that are trusting in his name, those that are staying upon his God, Those whom he wakeneth morning by morning. Those who follow after righteousness. Those who know righteousness. God saying, what are you doing? Being afraid of a man that shall die, or the Son of Man should be made as grass. Earlier in Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That you should be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgetteth the Lord your Maker, that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the sea. Laid the foundations of the earth. I put a parenthesis in my Bible in front of the next word, which says, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? And I close a parenthesis. Because, listen, feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. Who is that? That is our adversary, Satan, the devil, and all his minions, who would wipe us out if he could, because as if he were ready to destroy. If he could, I assure you he would. If he were God, he would. I have a note in my Bible when I came across this. And it says, why do you still worry when Satan's objective was to wipe us out? But we're still here. Where's his objective? We're still here. Obviously, his objective has failed. Put away fear of that oppressor. Put away fear of the fury of the oppressor. And I want to tell you something. I have every confidence. The oppressor I'm thinking these horrible terrorist acts that are manifesting themselves all around the world. They're designed for one thing, and that's to make us fear the oppressor. No, we fear God. No, we revere. No, we respect. No, we want to please God. He's not going to have his way with those who are trusting, with those who are staying, with those who are running to the voice of the Seer, with those who are intently hearing God's word, those whom God is wakening morning by morning. Fourteenth verse to continue, the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. They worry about those things. But I am the Lord thy God. That one who divided the sea, referenced earlier, whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Listen to what God has planned. I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I might plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. I want to close second chapter of Habakkuk. For the vision or the hope is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. King James reads, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Let me read it right. Though he tarry, wait for him, because he will surely come. He will not tarry. We are looking unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will not be late, but he will be on time. We can count on it. He is our hope, and we are trusting. In him, and are waiting with expectation of his coming and all that which God has in store for those who are waiting for him. And that's the God School for today.